their religious views and their understanding. And the more we talk, and the more you try to draw them out, the further away from the power of God it became. Some of the instances that I recall now, instead of talking about what God has done for them, or the purposes of our God and what he's going to do for his people, they come just talking about what we've done. How many missionaries we sent out. How much money we've collected. How much zeal we have. Ah, brethren, it makes me sick at heart, if you'll excuse that expression. It makes me sick at heart to hear any man, I don't care who he is, what the circumstances of life may be, to say that God is not able to do what he wills to do. But some men just accuse them. I tell you, my brethren, it's, well, I might say something I shouldn't here, but I'll go on. But it is sickening. Now he says, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Isn't it wonderful to think that as we grow up, as he is given these blessings by the grace of God, prophets, apostles, evangelists, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the truth and so forth, no more tossed about by every wind of doctrine and the sight of men, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And any time that we get outside or feel that we're outside of, or tell somebody that we have done something through our own efforts, we are leaving the very thought, the very truth, which is in the head, which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. I'd like you to read this scripture when you get home. It's so wonderful to me. It's so fairly and firmly connected all the way through of the eternal will and the purpose of our God in giving his Son Jesus Christ here to bring his people, individually and collectively, of course, out of nature's darkness and by the operation of the Spirit of God in their heart, to join them together with a perfect fit, because they fit in the house of God, because they are prepared by the Spirit of God to fit perfectly in their little niche, in that grace with which they are blessed to have in the church of the living God. So that it is said here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Do you not remember that body of five bones and his equal saw? That bone came to bone, and by the word of God, sinew came upon them, and they rose up after this and lived. So shall all of these, my brethren, who are the church of the living God, as they're drawn together bone to bone and sinew to sinew, when they come to the knowledge of the Son of God, under the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we shall see a perfect building. We shall see a perfect structure. We shall see a completed church. We shall see everyone that the Father chose in his Son before the world began. And everyone that the Son indeed, which is one and the same thing, as they're brought together, did it, and made the fit together, just as those stones and the timbers were hewn out not in the church of God, but hewn out before they were brought to the church, and when they were brought to the building, they fit together perfectly, and it was a perfect building. So is the church of the living God. My brethren, not a one of you, not a one of the large people is ever going to be lost. Why? Because they kept, as I quoted, the apostle Peter. They kept the power of God. But now from whom the whole body, that is from Christ, not from men, not from the schools of men, not from human intelligence or wisdom, but speaking, let me read that again, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom now? From Christ. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted with that which every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. There is a working together by every member of this body of Christ, of this church, every individual member, there's a place for each one of them. As I said, you may, and I often do, and I suppose you do, we're wondering if we have a place at all or not. But don't you know, brethren, we do in the eternal, in the overall arrangements of our God, that you and I have our own places in the church of the living God. Maybe a little place. Yes, it's a great blessing even to have a little place. Even to have a hope of a little place in the church of the living God. And that they join together. It takes the whole body of Christ. It takes all the elect of God to make this perfect good. Have you ever ridden along the road and see an old home, or maybe a new home, a new building or structure? And you look around about it and you admire it, and lo and behold, you find maybe a shingle off the roof. Or you find a brick missing somewhere. You find this, that, and the other wrong. It isn't as pretty as you thought it was at the first glance. But my brethren, when we're brought into the knowledge of these things, into the fullness of the stature of Christ, there won't be any shingles missing. There won't be any bricks missing. And really, there won't be one single grain of sand missing out of the mortar that holds them together, because it's fitted, perfect. And it takes all of them to comprise the whole house of God, which is the church of the living God. And so it's according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase to the body and to the edifying of itself in love. Brother, my gotten so deep I must quit. It's just too deep. But think of what the Spirit of God does for you. Think of what a blessing it will be, my brethren, if we are so blessed as to be brought into that building which is perfect, shall be made, is perfect in Christ, and to be made to feel that we have a little place in it. Yea, one said he would rather be a doorkeeper. And so would I.